Morning, everyone. I hope you have your Bibles and turn over there to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63. And by the end of the, glad that you're here today, and by the end of the lesson, I will try to explain what this obtrusive number of books I have. Here's 21 of them, why they are there. But hopefully for now, I'll just keep you on the edge of your seat so you can wonder. We are glad that you're here. If you're visiting, we hope that you find a warm welcome. We encourage the members here to, after the end of services, to take about 5 minutes or so and look around and greet those who are visiting that you don't know and make them feel at home. We want people to feel like this is the Lord's Day and this is the day of Christ's resurrection. This is the day the church was established. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And it's a great way to begin the week. You know, it's interesting. On some calendars, business calendars, Sundays are on, is the seventh day of the week. It's the weekend. I believe in beginning the week strong, not the weekend, the strong end. The strong end is the beginning of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And hopefully that'll help give us, this should be like a spiritual oasis. It helps to restore, recharge our spiritual battery. So when we think about the Lord's Day and starting off the week, right, when I wake up each morning, how long does it take me to think about God? Have you ever thought about that? When you wake up in the morning, how long does it take me to think about God? There's a God. I was made for Him. I was made for a relationship with Him. And how do I respond to Him? David said, "Oh God, You are my God, early will I seek You." Now in some translations, in fact most translations beside the King James and New King James, it has the word earnestly there. But the Hebrew word there for early comes from the root word is for the dawn. And the idea is by extension, if you're up at the crack of dawn doing something, you would say you're an eager beaver, you're real earnest. And so that's translating the idea of a person being very eager if they begin early doing something. But I like the idea that David's first thoughts in the morning were thoughts of his God. The top priority of his day, job one, was beginning the day with God. And when we get through with the lesson, I want us to all have imprinted on our mind, I want to begin every day with God. I want to give God undivided attention. I want to commune with God and give Him my prime attention. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes a day at the beginning of the day. David said, "In the morning, O Lord, You will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to You and eagerly watch." The New King James says, look up. And the idea is to look for God to answer prayer. To begin with an expectant attitude. To look to God. And that'll make everything else right. The most important decision that we can make any day is about my attitude. And the reason that it is so important to begin the day with God is that will set the pace and the tone for the entire rest of the day. To begin thinking about how great and wonderful and loving and gracious God is. David, beginning the day with God, David began the day with God. We might say, you know, now Frank, I'm so busy. I've got so many things to do. I just don't get enough sleep, and when I get up, I've got to rush and get ready and grab a bite to eat and go off to work, and I just don't have time. I have too many things going on in my life to give God undivided attention at the beginning of the day. David says in Psalm 63, the heading is that this was written when he was in the wilderness. Now, this might have been when he was in the wilderness fleeing Absalom. But this chapter talks about those who speak lies, that they mouths would be stopped. And Saul had his henchmen telling lies about David, that he wanted to hurt the king Saul. So I think in the context here, it's referring to David when he's in the wilderness. It could be the rebellion of Absalom. But in Psalm 57, David was in a cave. He was in a hole in the ground, hiding because Saul wanted to kill him. So how many of us began our day in a hole in the ground, somebody wanting to kill us? I don't think anybody. If David could begin his day with God, I think we could do that too. And so David, when he's in the wilderness, when he's hiding in a cave, he could block out everything else and think about God. His first visitors each morning were thoughts of God. Early will I seek you. I will call to you in the morning. Therefore, we want to resolve to begin each day communing with God as our top priority. If I am too busy with other things, I'm just simply too busy for God. And I believe that it's very rewarding and it's very enriching. And I'll go ahead and tell you these 21 different books. Every year, I'll take a different devotional book that has like a verse of scripture, like a scripture for the day and a brief thought. And over 26 years of preaching, I've gone through about 21 different one of these books as a study aid. They've been like my little companions. And I use that as I read through the Bible. I currently get up and I'm reading, I'm in Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm going through the book of Jeremiah. And at night, I'm now in the book of Philippians. But the point is, we all need to have a plan of how I'm going to begin the day communing with God as top priority. Well, I want you to read here in Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you early. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. David realized the one essential relationship is God. He was hungering and thirsting for God. Physical hunger and thirst shows that food and water is an absolute necessity. If you don't have it, you die. To live, you must eat and drink. And for us to live spiritually, I can commune with God. And I can be as strong spiritually as I want to be as I build that daily relationship with God, because the mornings turn into days, the days turns into years, and the years turn into the story of our life. And it all begins with the decision of how I begin each day. If I can begin controlling my thinking in the morning, therefore I can better control my thinking throughout the day. He knows that God is ultimate reality. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, he recognizes the existence of Elohim, the one true and living God. And he says, you are my God. And the idea of God is the strong one. God is the one that gives him the strength to make life worth living. He recognizes the ultimate reality of God. Psalm 14 and verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 19 and verse 1 begs to differ. The heavens, the cosmos, declares the glory of God. There must be a God. There are various arguments that, and these are reflected in the Bible. There is what's the idea of the cosmos or the cosmological argument that the universe had an origin. And if it had an origin, it must have an originator. And as Thomas Edison said, the universe is a great engineering feat, therefore it demands an engineer. So you have the what's called the teleological or design argument. Telos means design or end. So if there's design in the universe, therefore that implies there must be a God. Then you have man is an intelligent, moral, religious creature. No society of atheists has ever been found. So where did you get the sense of a conscience, an ought? People who believe in situation ethics or believe there's no absolute truth, just steal something from them or burn their house down, and all of a sudden they'll get religion and, hey, there's right and wrong. Shouldn't do that. Stop that. Says who? The idea is there is some moral consciousness. There is right and there is wrong. This all points to the fact there is God. There is a God. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom do I have in heaven but you? And having you, I desire nothing else on earth. And so we begin the day with God. We can say what the psalmist said. If I have you, I have everything that truly matters, and I can handle what else happens to me. We are because God is. And he calls him my God. So he seeks God as top priority in the morning. We read in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3 already, where he talks about, in the morning, my prayer and my cry will come to you. He made that a priority. We make our habits, and then our habits make us. David was a man after God's own heart because we are no better than what we habitually do. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may last for the night, yet a shout of joy comes in the morning. When we begin a new day, the great thing is all the problems of the past are past. Every new day is a new day to renew my relationship with God. Now I want you to turn, please, to Psalm 90 and verse 14. It's interesting, if you look at different words or concepts in the book of Psalms, how often it is used. We talked about how well do you sleep. The psalmist talks about he can sleep satisfied and secure in God. The psalmist also talk a lot about beginning the day with God, giving him our undivided attention. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 14. He says, "Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." If I did not believe that there was a God, you know, without God, life means absolutely nothing. There is no right and wrong, and life would be depressing. But he says, satisfy us in the morning. We begin the morning to realize that God is good, that God loves us, and God has a plan for us. And we can sing for joy and be glad all our days. Regardless of the ups and downs of life, if I have God in my life, it all can be good. God can turn it around for good. So seek God as top priority in the morning. This fellow wanted to, he was teaching a business seminar, and he says he wanted to teach him a lesson. He asked them, what is the lesson I'm trying to teach you? He took a large jar, and he put in some large rocks. He filled the large rocks up to the top of the rim, and he said, "Is the jar full?" Everyone said, "The jar is full." He said, "Okay." Then he took some small pebbles, and he put them in the, and they filled in all the crevices around the big rocks. And then he filled it to the rim. He says, "Is the jar full?" And everyone said, "Yes, it's full." And then he took some sand and he poured the sand in. And then he said, "Is the jar full?" And everyone said, "Yes, it's full." And then he took some water and he put some water in. And then he said, "Is the jar full?" And they said, "Yes." Then he asked, "What's the lesson?" And someone said, "You can always put in more. You can always do more." And he said, "No, that is not the lesson." Maybe he had a buzzer and went, "Meh, sorry, wrong answer." The answer is, you can only get the little stuff in when you put the big stuff in first. God is the big rock that we put in first, and everything else fits around it. Okay, so some specific things that you can do every day to give God undivided attention. If you give God undivided 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, anybody can do that. 5 minutes. You can read one chapter, take 1 minute to sing one verse of one song, and take 1 minute to pray. You can do that, can't you? Yes, you can do that. And if you begin the day with God, giving Him undivided attention, it will change your life. It will change your outlook. It will change your priorities. It will change your values. It will change how you schedule things. It will change how you see different things during the day. You can take 15 minutes. I would recommend taking at least 15 minutes. And if you feel like you don't have time, then just get up 15 minutes earlier. Just do that. One preacher suggested, we had Alton Bailey came in, he said, read the Bible at least as much as you watch TV. At least as much as you watch TV. Well, we'd all be Bible scholars, would we not? So I'm going to take that time and read through, just start the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is God's original devotional literature. It talks about how we feel, how we should feel, how we should see things. A psalm a day keeps the devil away. So I'm going to set a goal. That'll take you 3 to 5 minutes as you begin the day. Or if you don't have time, here's my other prop. This is the Bible on CD. Bible on CD. And we all have CD players in our car. Most of us do. And most, I probably work. And, you know, your car can be a rolling classroom. Just think about that. What do I put in my head? So I asked Michaela, when I take the girls to school, we read, listen to the book, like one chapter from the book of Proverbs, or from the life of Christ. We were listening to Ephesians this past week. I asked Michaela, I said, when we begin the day and I take you to school and you listen to one chapter out of the Bible, does that help you think about God during the day? She said, yes, it does. Okay, see, I'm field testing this, okay? Doing research. It works. There's some different books that you can use that are, they have like a verse of scripture and then just have some brief comments. Gary Henry spoke over at Pepper Road recently. He has two books out. One's called Diligently Seeking God, and the other book, I forget what it is because it's brand new. Greg Littner is a friend of mine who preaches up in Cincinnati. He wrote a daily devotional book recently. And so that's just an aid. And anything written by man, you have to filter it to see it in light of Scripture because men can make mistakes. But these can be just simply aids that help you read. And then I would encourage you, as we're going to go through this, think about getting a songbook. Maybe buy your own songbook. You don't, wouldn't recommend you swiping a songbook from the church. So go ahead and get your own songbook and just sing one verse. Just one verse. I've done that. It helps, really helps your attitude when you force yourself to sing. Now, I don't know if it's because I'm mentally impaired or something like that, but I don't have a lot of songs memorized. No, I've sung them over and over again, so I'm kind of, I need a songbook to look at the words to remind me. So instead of just sort of humming through and singing a few words of the song, get the songbook, look at it, and sing the entire song. And I guarantee you that it will change your attitude if you begin the day with God. So you sing and then you pray. On Facebook, there's a group that is called No Bible, No Breakfast. Rachel recently joined that, and I saw that, and I joined that. And basically, the idea is no Bible, no breakfast. You know, I'd eat breakfast to feed my physical body. And if I can't take time to feed my spiritual soul, I don't need to eat breakfast. So that's a handy way, no Bible, no breakfast. I need to read my Bible to feed my soul before I'll eat some physical food to feed my body. And I think that's setting a good, priority for the day. And then another thing to remember that'll help, what we're doing here today can help motivate us during the week. As I said at the beginning, this is like an oasis. Spiritual refreshment. And so the songs that we sung, the prayers that we prayed, the things that we've talked about in Bible class can motivate us during the week. Because in verse 2 he says, thus I've seen you in the sanctuary. He's talking about in the past worship, past corporate worship in the tabernacle. To see your glory and your power. So the effort and the concentration that we put in today can be a motivation for wanting to seek God in the morning. So that's why we want to give God our very best effort. Look at, please with me, Psalm chapter 42 and verse 4. Psalm 42 and verse 4. Where he says, these things I remember and pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. The context here is the psalmist is depressed. If you read the Psalms, he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? That's verse 5. He's depressed. But 42, verse 1, he says, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. So he's thirsting for God, and then he recalls his worship in the past to motivate him to want to worship God in the present. Focusing on God, my heart's delight. Look at verse 3 through 7. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. So he is focusing on God. The beginning of the psalm, he shows his need for God, that his soul's desire. And then he's going to keep his focus on God. He's not going to let his circumstances, however depressing or unjust they may be, to take his focus off of God. And he praises God's greatness. He says, your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. In praising God, focuses on the nature of God. Psalm 18 and verse 2, you have, for example, 18 verse 2, you have nine titles or descriptions of who God is. Psalm 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. There's a CD that I have called The Great I Am, and where the reader simply goes through and he reads all the names of God. The names of God reveal who God is. And God, who is infinite and absolute in all his attributes, is the one on whom I totally rely. We cannot praise someone we do not know. And praise is really completing our enjoyment of knowing or rejoicing in who God is. If you see a great play or a college football game, you see a great play and they show it again and again on the replay reel, and people go, wow, did you see that? And then you want to tell people about that. And so how you're exalting what a great play it is, you're entering into enjoying it. And so we need to take time, as I said, to sing, to worship God in the morning. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any merry? Let him sing praises. So we want to praise God each day. Take time to sing to God. Begin the day by singing a song to God of praise. And then secondly, he says we need to pray for God's help. Verse 4, I will bless you as long as I live. This is Psalm 63. And I will lift up my hands in your name. To lift up our hands to God in Psalm 28 verse 2 and other passages is appealing to God for help. God, help you. I cannot handle all the stuff I have to handle alone. I need God's help. Praying for God's help. Psalm chapter 55 and verse 17 says, morning, evening, and noontime, I will pour out my complaint to you. God has a complaint department. You know, I was going to get a key made for my car, and they had this sign, says, complaints. And underneath it says, take a number. And then when you take a number, you pull out a pin of a hand grenade. So that's what they think of complaints. The psalmist said in Psalm 55 and verse 17, morning, evening, and noon, I will pour out my complaint to you. This is part of what's called the laments. Now, the Bible doesn't want you to dwell on your problems to become bitter, but God wants us to process or deal with these complaints by giving them to Him. And we see them in light of His power and His goodness to help us to cope with them. But Psalm 55, verse 17 says we should schedule time when I'm going to pray to God. We can pray to God anytime, but many times we get so busy it gets crowded out. Read with me in Psalm 88, verse 13 and 14. Here the psalmist is dealing with depression, and what does he do? Sometimes people say, I don't feel like praying. It's like God hasn't intervened soon enough for me. The psalmist here is very depressed, if you read Psalm 88. You know, it is easier to act your way into a better way of feeling than to try to sit around and feel your way into a better way of acting. And even though the psalmist was depressed, notice what he does in verse 13 of Psalm 88. But I, O Lord, have cried out to you for help, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you reject my soul? And why do you hide your face from me? The psalmist doesn't understand why things are happening the way they are, but he knows the solution is with God. He is a strong one. Because without God, there is no hope. And so it's always too soon to quit and give up. Always pray to God for help. Actus is an acrostic to remember the specific or elements, the specific elements of prayer. Because I think everybody knows, well, yeah, praying is a good thing. If you can remember that, when you pray, it helps you give time to different elements of prayer. There's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, intercession, supplication. Adoration is praising God, putting God first, hallowing the name of God. Give God His rightful place and everything else will fall into place. God's greatness is beyond telling. And that will really improve the mind when we meditate on the perfections and the wonder of God. Confession of sin. When I come into the presence of a holy God, I realize that I am imperfect and sinful, and I need cleansing. No one can regularly come into the presence of God in prayer. It's like looking God in the eye and maintain sin in your life. Prayer will remove us from sin, or sin will remove us from prayer. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. All of us are very blessed. We take our blessings sometimes as God's debts that He owes us. We expect good things to be happening because they have happened in the past. And so we shouldn't take God for granted. We should thank God for everything that we have. This morning as I rose early to work on my sermon, I had one of these books I had by the bed. I couldn't find it. And so it was dark. And so I turned on the light in the bathroom, and so you get a little dim light. I was trying not to wake up Debbie. Get a little dim light, I could find out where the book was, and then I turned the light off, and I was able to pick it up. And then after I picked it up, it was dark. I was thinking, you know, what about if I was blind? Couldn't see. That would be hard, wouldn't it? How much would you give for your eyes? If someone said, I'll give you $1 million for your eyes, would you take $1 million for your eyes? How about $5 million for your eyes? That's just beginning with your eyes. We haven't gotten to your brain, your heart, your lungs, the rest of your body, your ability to walk. And that's just our physical blessings, which are secondary to our spiritual blessings. So as the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I would encourage us all to try to think about something every day different, to thank God for something different every day. It makes us focus on what we're thankful for. I know sometimes kids in class, when they're little kids, and it's real cute how they pray, they'll thank God for their tennis shoes and their shoelaces and their socks, and they just thank God for their crayons and everything. Well, in a sense, we need to be observant like little children and be thankful for everything that we have. And then I think it helps us to not be so sad and overwhelmed when we're thinking about our own problems. When intercession, we put our mind on somebody else and helps us to put things in perspective. So remember to pray for other people. And supplication is we ask God for our own needs. God is a loving God who wants the very best for us. And then meditating on God's truth in verse 6 back in Psalm chapter 63 as we go through the way in which we begin the day with God. Notice what he says in verse 6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate you on the night watches, for you have been my help. We're talking about beginning the day with God. How I end the day with God can help motivate me how I begin the day with God. He meditates on God at night, and then that helps him when he wakes up in the morning to think about God. Someone said, you know, we ought to stitch in both in the ends of each day with prayer so it won't come unraveled in the middle. You end the day with thoughts of God and prayer, and Bible reading, and then you begin the day with singing and prayer and Bible study. But he's meditating on God. When he's got some time to think, he meditates on God. Meditation is holy thought that's practiced in the presence of God to appreciate the things of God. We can rise no higher than the level of our thoughts. Our life is dyed the color of our thoughts. And so David, instead of focusing on his problems and how unfair life had been to him, and Saul was chasing him for 10 years out in the wilderness, he says that he's going to focus on God and he's going to meditate on his word. I'm going to read from Psalm 119, verse 147. Psalm 119, verse 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. We're thankful for technology because it helps us in a lot of ways. But one thing that technology has done is it speeds up life. And that life is a blur. And so beginning the day with God helps us to slow down and to meditate on eternal truth. So we need to meditate on God and we need to meditate on His truth. When He talks about it at night, I meditate you on my bed. I have a CD player that has a time delay. You can punch a button and it will play for 10 minutes or it'll play for 20 minutes. And so at night, sometimes, I like to have a CD and put that on, and you can listen to that as I go to sleep at night. And that fills my mind with holy thoughts. This other thing that I dropped is, you can get little scripture plaques when it talks about meditation. Let's go, all things are possible. That's the heading across here. And you have, there's about 30 different cards that have a verse. And you can get this in a religious bookstore. This one's from Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at him and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Now, how do you think that's going to improve my day if I meditate purposely on that verse? All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Do you think I'm going to feel like life is hopeless? Do you think like I'm going to have this hard, this situation? I just can't deal with these people. I can't get out of this situation. No, I've been meditating. I found a really good verse. All things are possible with God. If it is within the will of God, it is certainly possible with God. So that's another little aid. You remember in Deuteronomy 6, they were supposed to put the scriptures up on the doorpost of their house to have daily reminders to meditate on God and His truth. And rejoice in God's blessings. Verse 7, you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. So we need to be happy. We all need to be happy. I'd like for y'all, please humor me. I would like for everybody to smile, please. I'd like for everybody to smile. Okay? That's everybody. Okay? Everybody smile. Okay? Now, don't you feel better already? Someone said that a smile is a curve that sets a lot of things straight. So we can choose our attitude. We can rejoice in the fact that I'm a child of God if you've obeyed the gospel. I can rejoice that God has a plan and a path for my spiritual development. God is going to, at the end of time, Christ is going to return. That we're going to be transformed into the image of His glory and spend eternity with Him in heaven. And I can rejoice in that. I can rejoice in God's loving kindness. Because the Bible is ultimately optimistic. Because we can read the last page and see how it's going to turn out. We can rejoice. You know, it's just like the illustration I've used of the, you know, you have your team is playing and you have the VCR and someone tells you, you record it and you don't want someone to tell you, but they tell you anyway and your team wins. Even though they're way behind, you don't worry about a blown call or a busted play or them being behind. If you know the outcome, it's okay. So we can rejoice in God's blessings because we know that it's going to turn out okay in the end. And then he concludes in verses 8 and 11 by saying, My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be prey for foxes, but the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. He said that we ought to cling to God daily. If I begin the day with God, then during the day, I can stay close to God. God is a constant companion that watches over my life, that he is always there to help me, that heaven is just a prayer away. So God is always there. Cling to God during the day. I want to go back. When he says, I cling to God, he says, your right hand upholds me. That's God's, you know, strong, right, mighty hand. He upholds me, and I cling to God. And I want you to think of a mutual embrace. That when I'm holding on to God, God is holding on to me. And then I need to trust that God's overarching plan will prevail. Sometimes it seems like the devil's winning. But he says all his enemies are going to be judged. God doesn't judge them immediately, but he will judge them eventually. And God had a plan for David. A sermon I'm going to preach out of 1 Samuel, where David has this psalm of praise after he was delivered from Saul, after 10 years of persecution. He says, I see it. God allowed him to be persecuted for 10 years so he would learn to trust God and not himself. And that God was training him in these 10 years in the wilderness to be more devoted to him. Okay, so David believed that God's overarching plan would succeed. Evil will be defeated and punished. I want you to read with me, please, in Psalm 57, where he's confident that his enemies would be defeated. My soul is among lions, Psalm 57, verse 4. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongue is a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. He's depressed. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. You know, people who give themselves to evil destroy themselves. And there's going to be a final day of reckoning. So nobody gets away with anything. So evil is not so overwhelming that if I begin the day with God, I can handle it. Because Satan is doomed, and we are going to win. The righteous are going to be vindicated. That's what he says in 57, verse 8. He says, I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. So when the outlook is bad, David is going to try the uplook, and that God is still on the throne, and that with him we're going to win in the end. You know, the past is over and the future is unknown, but within our grasp right now is today. And I can choose how I begin today to make the best out of today. One of the commentaries on Psalms says, As drink to the thirsty, and food is to the hungry, and music to the sad, and cheer is to the sleepless, and songs in the shadow, a strong arm to lean upon, and the source of all joy. God has proved to be all these things to David. And how could he want for more? In the book of Psalm, in this Psalm, he is a drink to the thirsty, he's food to the hungry, God is music to the sad, he is cheer to the sleepless, he is songs in the shadow, and he is a strong arm to lean upon, and he is the source of all joy. And David knew it by experience, and we can too. So, I would encourage us all to begin each day by giving God 5 to 30 minutes of undivided devotion, and that'll change the direction of our life. David's first business each morning was seeking God, which kept him close to God the rest of the day. And beginning the day with God is the best decision we'll make.